Okay, good morning, everyone. Thank you for those of you who were praying for me today. Whenever I had said, yep, I'll happily do this, I forgot I was having to get a wisdom tooth out on Wednesday. I didn't really think that one through. It was a lot sore than I thought. So for the last few days, I've been keeping a record of going between brufen and paracetamol and just, so I'm still there. So hopefully what we say this morning makes sense. I trust that God will still use and speak through me. Today we're going to be looking at the second part of Ephesians chapter 3, which is Paul's prayer for spiritual growth. And we're just going to be continuing on with what Ian looked at last Sunday. Which was really good, really challenging, Ian. We saw Paul explaining how God, by his Spirit, gave him this special mission, which was to share the mystery of Christ. This mystery is that Gentiles, non-Jews, you and I, are now included in God's family through faith in Jesus. So that's where we've got to. And this plan of God that was once hidden, it's now out there in the open, and we, the church, get to show the world, even the spiritual realm, just how amazing his grace really is. Because of Jesus, we can now approach God boldly and confidently and freely through the faith that we have in him. So the passage that we are looking at today is actually the second of two prayers here in Ephesians. The first one being in Ephesians 1, 15 to 23, which was Paul's prayer for spiritual wisdom. Paul Coulter looked at that a few weeks ago. And both of these prayers, along with Paul's other prison prayers, focus more on our spiritual growth than our physical or material needs. Now, it's totally fine to pray for things that we need, like our health, our family, exams. I can remember many a time sitting in an exam hall in Wallace praying and not those prayers being answered, which was more to do with I hadn't revised for them. But those times, maybe some of you can relate to that, but maybe around your jobs. But Paul reminds us that what really matters is what's going on inside our heart, our character, our relationship with God. Because whenever we're strong and healthy on the inside, the rest of life starts to fall into place. But too often we only pray about those things, don't we, that are happening on the outside, those problems, the stress, the stuff that we need, and we forget to ask God to work on our inside. And I'm sure if we prayed more like Paul did, asking God to shape our hearts, to strengthen us on the inside, we would see real growth in our lives, the kind of growth that actually lasts, because our deepest needs aren't on the outside, they're in here in our hearts. Lost the clicker. Really? Have you ever stood somewhere that just took your breath away? Okay. I'm not looking for the answer of your guys on your wedding day when your wife is coming walking up the aisle. But maybe you've been lucky enough to see the Grand Canyon. Or maybe you've got to watch the sunset over an ocean. Or maybe just lying on your back looking up at a sky full of stars. Now, I've never been to the Grand Canyon. I would love to go there someday. But I've had, you know, similar experiences when out walking through the Mourne Mountains, where you just look around and your breath is taken away by what you see. When you look around and all you can see are mountains, the beauty of God's creation. Even getting to go a few years ago over to visit family in Canada and the Rockies, they are breathtaking. I have another photo where I'm standing there and I'm holding tightly on to Jonah and Maya, just making sure they don't fall in. But you look out, and what you see, it takes your breath away. It's vast, it's immeasurable, it's beautiful, it's too much to take in. And you just stand there and you realize that, you know, this is bigger than me. That's what Paul is doing in this prayer that we're about to read. He's overwhelmed that when he's trying to describe something infinite with finite words. He's standing on the edge of God's love and he's saying, you know, you can't measure it, you can't contain it, but you can be filled with it. And Paul, we know here, he's writing from prison. He's not praying for his freedom. He's not praying for safety. He's not praying for comfort. Instead, he's praying that the Ephesian believers, you and I as well, would experience the fullness of God's love in a way that strengthens us and challenges us and changes us and fills us completely. So let's read the passage together. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 21. If you have a Bible, you can turn to it, or else just listen as we read along. It's only a few short verses. So Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Paul's prayer for spiritual growth. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As Paul is writing these words, he's thinking about God's mysterious plan being revealed. And as he's thinking about this, the only way that he can respond is by falling to his knees. Paul's posture here shows humility and complete dependence on God. In Jewish tradition, people usually stood up to prayer, but we see here that Paul is kneeling, showing this deep reverence and intensity as he's praying. Don't forget, Paul is under house arrest. He tells us later in chapter 6 of Ephesians that he's in chains. And so you can almost picture what is happening here. And what an experience this would have been for the Roman soldier who was potentially chained to Paul as he drops down to his knees in prayer. Even in chains, even under house arrest, Paul is surrendered. He's not defeated. Now, the Bible, we know it doesn't command any particular posture for us to pray. In Genesis 18, we see that Abraham stands before God as he prays for Sodom. Daniel, he prayed 3 times a day, facing Jerusalem, on his knees. David, we are told, he sat before the Lord whenever he's praying for the future of his kingdom. In 1 Timothy, we see Paul and others lifting their hands in prayer. And Jesus, he fell to his face in prayer in Gethsemane. So whenever Paul is saying that he bows to his knees, he's not laying down a rule for posture, but he's expressing this deep humility and all that he feels as he prays and as he intercedes here for God's people. You see, God cares more about the posture of our hearts than the posture of our body. So you can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, you can even lie face down, you can raise your hands. But what really matters is that our heart is real before God when we come to him in prayer. You see, true prayer starts with humility and trust in who he is, not those things that we need. And so in bowing before the Father, Paul is reminding us that prayer, it's personal. God's not distant. He's our Father. He's the one that we find our identity in. And Paul writes, he's the creator of everything, the one from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. And you see, Paul here, he's emphasizing belonging. Everyone who has trusted in Jesus, no matter their background, their nation, they find their true identity in God's family. And how we view God, it shapes how we pray. When we pray, we're not approaching our boss, maybe your football coach or manager or a judge, we're coming to a loving Father. And if you see God as someone who is distant, you will probably pray unexpectedly. But if you see him as a Father, you will come and you will pray confidently. When you kneel before the Father, you're not begging a stranger, you're talking to your heavenly Dad. And whenever I was preparing for this week, I was challenged whenever I was thinking about my posture before God, about thinking what it was like, not my physical posture, but my spiritual posture. Do I come before God hurried? Do I come distracted? Do I come before him with a to-do list? Or do I come to him humble and saying, Father, you know, I need you. I need you more than anything. And sometimes God does literally bring us to our knees, maybe through struggle or loss or weakness, because that's where our hearts finally open to his power. When we get to that place where we realize that what we are in right now, we cannot do it on our own strength. We need God, we need his power, we need his strength. Paul gets this. He knows how much we need God, and that's why he's dropping to his knees here in prayer. And that's where we need to start to come humbly before him, knowing that apart from his power, we can do absolutely nothing. And whenever we open our hearts to his power, his spirit fills us, it strengthens us, and it empowers us so that we can live fully for him. Verse 16, it says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Paul is not talking here about physical strength or outward success. He's praying for something that is so much deeper. He wants believers, he wants you and I to be strong on the inside, to have a kind of spiritual strength that doesn't fall apart whenever life gets tough. Paul's talking about God's endless grace, his love, and his power, the kind of strength that only comes from him. This isn't something that we can get by trying harder or pretending that we're strong, pretending that we've got it all figured out, that we've got everything together. It comes from the Holy Spirit who lives in every single person who follows Jesus. The Spirit gives us the power to keep growing in faith, to keep growing in love, to keep growing in holiness, no matter what life will throw at us. And here's the best part. God's resources never run out. God is not limited in what he can give us. His riches, they're spiritual, they're eternal, they are far better than anything this world can offer us. And you know, this world offers, it promises us so much. But the things that God gives are so much better. So much better. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary that I was using just for this, he says, the presence of the Holy Spirit shows that someone belongs to Jesus. But the power of the Holy Spirit is what helps us actually live out our faith every day. And that's what Paul is praying here for his readers to experience. In Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's the same power that gave Jesus, or it's the same Spirit that gave Jesus the power to carry out his ministry on earth. And here's the great part of this. That same Spirit is available for us today. It's our only source of strength for living as followers of Jesus. And whenever you read through the book of Acts, we've gone through Acts before, we see how central the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is mentioned almost 60 times in the book of Acts. The early church could not do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone once said this, if God took the Holy Spirit out of this world, most of what we Christians are doing would keep going. And nobody would know the difference. Now, that's a tough truth, isn't it? But we can easily rely on our own strength. Many things Christians and churches do, all the programs, the routines, the good works, can be done out of habit, out of talent, out of human effort. It's possible that we can just go through the motions of faith without truly depending on God's Holy Spirit in our lives. Without the Holy Spirit, our actions, they might look good on the outside, but they will lack real spiritual power or eternal value. Genuine transformation, revival, fruitfulness, they come only through the limitless power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us, not from our own human efforts. And the purpose? Well, the first half of verse 17 says this, then Christ will dwell or make his home in your hearts, as you trust in him. This is why the Holy Spirit strengthens you from the inside, so that he can truly settle down and make his home in your life. The Greek word here, dwell, it doesn't mean that Jesus just drops by for a visit. It means that he moves in permanently. He settles down, he makes his home. He's not a guest, but he's a resident. The more you trust in him, the more space he takes up in your heart. And that's what Paul is praying for here, that Christ would fully occupy every room, every space in our hearts. It's not a picture of our house, but whenever we bought our house many years ago, I can't remember how many years ago now, we knew that there was going to be quite a bit of work to do when we first moved in. We had gone to view the house a number of times, and we quickly realized why there weren't too many people interested in putting offers on the house. But my dad likes a project. He likes to get his hands stuck into things. And whenever we finally got the keys and moved in, we quickly realized there was a lot more work that needed to be done than we initially realized. There were electrical problems. The boiler wasn't in great shape. And for those of you who know Naomi, she is always cold. The heating's on in the summertime. Now, this is December, January time, and the boiler's not working properly. Rooms needed to be replastered. Bathrooms had to be sorted out. The floors needed replaced, along with many other things. And so now, realizing that there were a lot of other things that needed to be sorted in our house, we didn't just give up or walk away and move to another house that was perfect, but we got to work with the help of a lot of people in this church, and we started to fix things. You see, that's what Jesus does in your heart. He doesn't leave whenever he sees the mess that's in our hearts. Praise God for that. He rolls up his sleeves and he starts transforming us from the inside. And you know, if you were asked the question, is Jesus a guest in your life or does he have full access? What would you say? Have you maybe let Jesus in, but you keep him confined to the living room? We don't want him to go into those other rooms, to that cupboard under the stairs. We don't want him anywhere near those sins that we try to hide, the things that we are worried about, those things that we are ashamed of. But you know, we'll never get healing from the things that we try to hide, the things we don't really want to be brought into the light. But we need to let him come to rearrange, to clean, inhabit every part of us. We need to let him into every room in our lives, to let him dwell and not just visit. And in the second half of verse 17, Paul moves on from talking about architecture, God making a home in our hearts, to agriculture, having roots that grow down deep in his love. When you're rooted in the love of God, you won't be easily shaken. Now, last Friday, we all saw some trees that came down during the storm. But a healthy tree with roots that go wide and deep will hold during a storm. The roots are the reason that that tree will stay tall and standing during a storm. I did a little bit of research, and Google told me that trees that are found in windy regions often develop stronger root systems than trees in calm places. So hopefully, here on this island, we have lots of trees that are healthy because of our weather conditions. Whenever the storm comes, the pressure forces the tree to send its roots wide and deep in order for it to stay connected. The roots intertwine with the roots of neighboring trees. They form this underground network of strength. And the storm that is trying to destroy the tree actually helps the tree to grow stronger. And Paul is saying here, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. When you're rooted in God's love, whenever you're connected to his people, life's storms can't pull you up from the ground. Yes, they might shake you, but those same storms that we face can also help strengthen us. You see, God's love is strong enough to hold us steady, even whenever everything else in life feels like it's falling apart. Whenever the world gets loud, whenever it gets crazy, his love doesn't move you. It anchors you. And Paul's not the first person to use this image of a tree planted. He's echoing Psalm 1, which says this, that those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on it day and night are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. You see, the person who's rooted in God, who delights in his word and lives in his love, is like a tree that is planted beside a steady stream. The seasons may change, the winds might blow, but that tree will never run dry because it is planted and its roots grow deep into a constant source. And Paul is saying the same thing to us here. He's saying that whenever your roots grow deep into the love of God, whenever your roots grow deep into Christ, you can face any drought, you can face any storm, you can face any season, and we can still bear fruit for him. And you know, this is why it's important that we have to be careful about what we root our identity in. If your sense of worth comes from how well you perform, how you look, what other people think of you, how successful you look on the outside, then you will be easily shaken. Because these things will always change. But whenever your identity is rooted in the steady, unchanging love of Jesus, you can stand firm when everything else around you shakes. Let your roots go deep into Christ, into his truth, into his presence, into his word, because the storms will come, disappointments will happen, people change. But when your life is rooted in Jesus, you will be standing stronger, wiser, more alive. You see, his love doesn't move, even when everything else in life does. Patrick, could you maybe flick it on one more? Okay. Paul then, he goes on to pray that we might grasp just how wide, long, high, and deep the love of God is. God's love is wide enough to reach everyone everywhere. No one is beyond the reach of God's love. God's love is long enough to last forever. God's love doesn't have an expiry date. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says this, that we are loved with an everlasting love. And you know, we live in a world where sadly, more often than not, love has an expiry date. Relationships break down, friendships break down, people let us down. But the love that God has for us is everlasting. It's high enough. Psalm 108 verse 4 says, "For your unfailing love is higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." God's love reaches higher than our sin, it reaches higher than our circumstances, and even whenever life feels hard and whenever we feel unworthy, God's love reminds us that our value comes from above, not from what's happening around us. And we see that God's love is also deep enough. It's deeper than our doubts, it's deeper than our pain, it reaches into those places that no one else sees, where hurt hides, where doubts linger. It's deep enough to reach you in your darkest valley and pull you out. God's love doesn't stay on the surface. It goes deep to rebuild, to restore, and to heal you from the inside. And yet Paul says that this love is too great to fully understand. It's a paradox. We're to know something that can never fully be known. And that's the beauty of walking with Jesus. There is always so much more and more of his love for us to discover. It's like trying to describe snow to someone who's never experienced it before in their life. You can try and describe it as best you can, but unless they see it and feel it for themselves, they won't get it. Or maybe you're having a battle with your child at home to get them to eat something that's on their dinner plate and they don't want to touch it and they've never tried it before. They're asking you, will they like it? But they need to try it for themselves. That's what God's love is like. You can't just study it, you can't measure it, but you have to experience it for yourself. You know, how many of us say that we believe that God loves us? But if we're being honest with ourselves, there's times whenever we doubt it. Or we spend our time doing the things that we think we need to be doing to try and earn this love that's already been given to us. We need to slow down. We need to stop trying to do it on our own strength. We need to turn off the noise. We need to put our phone down. We need to find a quiet space where it's just you and God. We need to spend time with him in his word and let him remind us what is really true, that we are loved, that we're chosen, and that we're his. Whenever Paul talks about being made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God, he's really getting to the heart of his prayer here. To be made complete in this way is being filled with his presence, with his character, with his purpose. It means that we are to become more like Jesus. And Paul is saying here, you know, I want you to be so full of God that there's no room for anything else in your life. You know, think about that, the fullness of God in you. That's what Paul is praying for us. That is what he wants us to experience, the fullness of God in us. It means that his character begins to shape our actions and our reactions. His peace rules our emotions. His Holy Spirit lives in us and it guides our decisions. That's God's heart for you and me. That we live so full of his love that it naturally spills out wherever we go. And whenever the Holy Spirit comes and fills us, God's love and his kindness and his power should flow out of us. It should shine through us so that everyone else can see who he is. If you think about a sponge, when it's dry, it's pretty useless. It wouldn't do a good job, would it, of washing your car if it was dry. It would make a mess. But if you put that sponge into water, it soaks it all up. Every part of that sponge gets filled. You could say that the sponge is in the water and the water is in the sponge. That's what it's like when we're filled with God's love. When we spend time with him, when we're close to him, he fills every part of us. But a sponge isn't just meant to hold the water. When you lift it up, whenever you squeeze it after bringing it out of the water, water pours out. That's what God wants from us. He fills us so that his love can overflow and pour out to others. And what happens if that sponge sits out for too long? Well, it dries up. The same happens with us. That's why we have to keep going back to God. We have to keep going back, spending time in his presence so that he can keep filling us again and again. Because only whenever we stay filled can we truly pour out what God's already given to us. And so, what are we allowing to fill our lives with? Maybe it's stress, maybe it's fear, maybe it's jealousy, maybe it's ambition, maybe it's bad habits, bitterness, or whatever it might be for you. The stuff that fills us is what ends up controlling us and guiding us. So it's important that we let God fill our minds, our words, our relationships, our decisions, so that his fullness overflows from our lives. But like me, we're human. We're prone to wander, and we mess up daily. So that's why we have to keep coming back to him. We have to stay rooted in his word and letting him renew and transform us day by day. Verse 20, it says this, "Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Paul ends his prayer here with worship. After asking for what would seem impossible things, strength from God, being able to understand and experience a love that's too great to understand, the fullness of God, Paul reminds us here that God can do exceedingly more than we could ever dream or ask for. God's power, it's not just something that we talk about. It's not distant, but it's real. It's alive, and it's already working in you. God doesn't just work and move things around you. He moves and works through us to make a difference. In Romans 8, verse 11, Paul tells us that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. That means that the power we need is not somewhere out there. It's already inside us. We don't have to beg God for more power. We need to believe in the power that he has already given us in his Holy Spirit. And then in verse 21, it says, "Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen." Warren Wiersbe, again, he says this, "The church on earth is here to glorify the Son of God. If our motive is to glorify God by building his church, then God will share his power with us. The power of the Spirit is not a luxury, but it's a necessity." Whenever God's love fills his people, the church shines. People see what God is like through our love, through our compassion, through our unity, through our courage, and through our forgiveness. You and I are part of God's bigger story. The glory of God, it wasn't just this ancient truth, but it continues through all generations. We are included in God's ongoing story of grace and purpose. And the goal of this prayer, it's not for our comfort, but it's for God's glory in Christ through the church for every generation. So how can what we are doing bring glory to God in our generation? In a world that is full of fear and doubt and uncertainty, be the one who lives differently. Live like you believe that God can do immeasurably more than anything you could ask or imagine. Let your faith in Jesus be bold. Let your life reflect the hope and confidence that you have in him, so that whenever people see you, they see what trusting in God really looks like. Because whenever your faith shines, whenever it overflows, it points others to the one who can do so much more than we could ever do on our own. And so, as we finish, may we make this prayer of Paul's our prayer this week. I'm not going to ask you to kneel like Paul did. You can do that if you want. But I'm just going to read through just a few statements from Paul's prayer that we've been looking at this morning. And after I've read each of these lines, maybe you want to respond by repeating that in your own heart to make it your prayer. Lord, empower me with inner strength through your Holy Spirit. Lord, dwell in my heart. Lord, let me know and experience your love. Lord, fill me with your life and your power. Lord, work through me for your glory. Amen. If you prayed this prayer, watch what happens, because God is able to do immeasurably more than you might ask or think or imagine. Thank you.